Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on the 17th day of October, 2017. I'm delighted to have two returning guests on the program today. For the first hour, we're going to have Jody Killingsworth of the Christian band and music ministry My Soul Among Lions joining us. He's going to be discussing a special Psalms project that he is involved in. And we'll also be playing a little bit of the music of My Soul Among Lions, who has truly become one of my very favorite Christian recording groups. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that because he's on the program today. I fell in love with them a number of years ago when someone posted one of their songs on YouTube, and after further investigation, I eventually wound up inviting Jody to be on the program, and also met Tim Bailey, who is an author that I've had on the program a couple of times through that initial introduction to My Soul Among Lions. The second hour, we're going to be joined by Pastor Mark Chansky, who is an author, and he is also serving as an under-shepherd there at Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan. He's also a teacher of hermeneutics for the Reformed Baptist Seminary in Easley, South Carolina. And he's going to be discussing in the second hour, "Greet One Another with a Holy Kiss, an Examination of Brotherly Affection." But first of all, let me introduce my first guest for the first hour, Jody Killingsworth. It's great to have you back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Good to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
And in studio with me is my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
And hello, it's good to be here again.
If anybody would like to join us with a question related to Christian music for the first hour, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And before I play some of your music, I wanted to have you, even though you've been on the program before, it's been some time, and we seemingly are getting new listeners every single day here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Why don't you tell our listeners something about My Soul Among Lions, how this group initially formed, and what is unique about My Soul Among Lions?
Okay. Well, we are made up of musicians who serve in a local church in Bloomington, Indiana. We serve at Clear Note Church in Bloomington. The Lord brought us each year to study music at Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University. That's what brought us to town. We got plugged all into this church independently of one another and started working together in the music ministry here. And we're given a lot of headroom to try things and make mistakes, which I think is what the Lord has used to allow us to wind up where we are today. And I think the commitment of the elders to allow young men to, they have to be good young men, men that you can trust, but they're young and they're going to make mistakes. You have to, I think, give them the room to do that, give them their head, to use horse terminology. Otherwise, they're never going to learn to lead, and they're never going to learn the lessons that they need. So that's the church that we serve. They had that vision for us, and they gave us freedom to work, and the Lord led us through through. We got a part. We came apart early on with the hymn revitalization movement, and then found our way to this Book of Psalms. And through reading of history, we realized that the Book of Psalms had, through the centuries of the church, been essential. Really, the bulk of what was sung by the people of God until the last several hundred years. And it's largely been abandoned, just preserved here and there in small pockets. But on the whole, it's largely been abandoned. We want to be a part of bringing it back to the church. So our vision for this project is to diversify all 150 psalms for singing in a vernacular, common folk style. We began about 3 years ago with the release of Psalms 1 through 10. We're working chronologically through the Psalter, tackling about 10 psalms a year, sometimes with multiple versions of those psalms. And that's the pace we're on. That's the vision we have.
Great. And obviously, your name comes from Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Quite a fascinating name, and I really love the name, by the way. I think it's an excellent...
Well, it's a common theme throughout the Psalms, and David was a man who was often in trouble, particularly in his younger days, and I think that's why his prayers are so helpful, is because they are forged in the fire of persecution and trouble. And it's why I think partly why we need them today is because if we're going to see the church reform in ways that she needs to, we need men who are willing to engage, first of all, in trouble, get themselves in trouble by fighting the good fight of faith, and they need the words of Scripture, particularly the words of the Psalms, to guide them and help them and give them the prayers that they're going to need to meet that trouble.
Well, I think it'd be a good idea to give our audience a taste of what My Soul Among Lions is all about. This is from a new video, The Voice of God, and of course, since we're on radio and live streaming on the internet, our listeners cannot see the video, but are these two young ladies your daughters?
Yeah, they are. Paloma and Olivet are their names.
Well, they're quite lovely young ladies, and this is Jody Killingsworth of My Soul Among Lions, and the song is The Voice of God from Psalm 29.
Give to the Lord all the glory that's due Him. Give Him the honor and glory today. Sons of the mighty, lift praises up to Him. Come to His altar in holy array. The voice of God is a thing of wonder. It's full of splendor and power. It makes the heavens resound like thunder, causes nature to flower. The voice of God shakes the wild back country. It causes kingdoms to dance. It makes the land flow with milk and honey, gives creation romance. Give to the Lord all the glory that's due Him. Give Him the honor and glory today. Sons of the mighty, lift praises up to Him. Come to His altar in holy array. The voice of God sits upon the waters. He rules at the flood. He spoke a word and the nations tottered, then were buried in mud. The voice of God breaks the trees in pieces. It strips the forest bare. High in His temple, no creature speechless. All cry glory up there.
give him the honor and glory today. Sons of the mighty, lift praises up to him. Come to his altar and holy pray. Give to the Lord all the glory that's due him. Give him the honor and glory today. Sons of the mighty, lift praises up to him. Come to his altar in holy array.
Amen. And how old are your daughters? I'm sorry if I missed that.
Paloma, the oldest, is 9, and Olivette is 8.
It's quite a blessing to see a dad with his two daughters singing praises to the Lord together, especially when those daughters look like they are truly loving doing that, not just doing that out of coercion or something. Sometimes you see kids up on a stage at church looking like they're bored out of their minds and they wish they could be anywhere else, but up there. But these girls were having a good time with you. And now tell us more about the Psalm Project.
Okay. Well, this is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's momentous act of nailing the 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church, as you know. And that sparked the Protestant Reformation, and that brought about all kinds of wonderful changes for the church. Really, I think what it comes down to is a conflict between two different views of the church. One, a professionalized view or a sacerdotal priestly organization of the church versus a universal priesthood of the church, where the people of God are priests of God and meant to participate fully and in some real sense equally in God's worship. And during the prior to the Reformation, it was organized very differently, where the priests and the professionals, as it were, performed the work of worship on behalf of the people. They came and largely observed and were supposed to receive, I guess, by osmosis, what God had for them there. They didn't understand what was happening, what was being said, and they had very little to do in terms of participation. And the reformers said, no, the people should be participating. They should, first of all, understand what's being read and said, and they should also sing. And so the Reformation brought back and also reinvented, as we did that, the lost practice of congregational singing, which we enjoy very much today. It's so much a part of our worship today that we can use those terms, worship and singing, synonymously. But while we carry on in form the practice of the reformers, that is, we sing today in church and are committed to doing so, the content of our songs varies dramatically from what they sung 500 years ago. They very self-consciously turn to God's Word for the content of their songs in a way that we don't as much anymore. They turn to the Book of Psalms especially. I was even just reading a little bit about Luther today and came across a letter that he wrote to a German poet where he calls that poet to give himself to the work of versifying the Psalms so that the people of God could sing them. And it's really sweet to see. And there are these wonderful anecdotes and letters and other documents from the time of the Reformation where people were rediscovering the work of singing in the congregation, and they just were writing to their friends in other cities saying, this is just wonderful. You wouldn't believe it. The people are actually singing God's praise together. It's just delightful. But what they were singing was the Book of Psalms. And so what's happened in the last several hundred years is as we have largely abandoned the work of singing the Psalms in favor of singing the poems, devotional poems of uninspired writers. I don't have any problem with us continuing to sing hymns that are based on Scripture or just devotional thoughts about God, as long as they're consistent with Scripture. I don't have any problem with that. What I do have a problem with is our abandonment of the Psalter. because those are inspired by God. And I think if we untether ourselves from God's word at that very important point, the devotional life of the church, we are doomed to wander away from him in our devotion and fail to honor him as we should.
So
what we've been doing is we've been working to reclaim the lost art of psalm singing.
And to have you clarify, you're not an exclusive psalm singer, as some of our brethren are in the Church of Scotland and the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, and I'm sure that there are others. In fact, yes, the Heritage Reformed churches that Joel Beakey is involved in, and I'm sure there are even more that are exclusive psalmody adherents, but you are not exclusive psalmody. You just think that they're important to be included in the worship.
Well, I think more than important to be included, I think they have to remain the standard by which we judge everything that we offer to the Lord, praise and prayer. Because there they are, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they speak so clearly of Jesus Christ the Messiah. He owned them as his own words. The church throughout history has done so. And insofar as we have abandoned it, I think we are in great danger and certainly out of conformity with the church throughout time. So I think that while I'm perfectly happy with us singing songs around this altar, I think that all that we do has to be judged by it.
Well, you'll be happy to know that the church where I'm a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, although we sing hymns, we do have a psalter in every pew.
Oh, good.
So, or should I say many psalters in every pew, because a pew's rather long. So, but we do sing the psalms as well. And what you just said reminds me of the fact that one of the reasons that I am not an exclusive a psalm singer is because of the fact that if you were going to take that conviction to its logical conclusion, your pastor should ascend into the pulpit and just read the Bible. He shouldn't be preaching with his own words. But also, to bolster what you have said, the preaching of the word, even though it uses uninspired language, it would be ridiculous for a Bible-believing pastor, somebody who believes in the inerrancy of Scripture and who believes that it is actually God-breathed, it would be bizarre for him to ascend into his pulpit and not read the Scripture at all.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure that's going on in multitudes of pulpits, tragically, all over the world.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm going to also give another taste of your music to our listeners that you've provided. And this is Forsaken Me from Psalm 22. Anything further that you care to mention?
Yeah, well, there's so many psalms in this set of 10 that we're currently working on. Psalm 22 is one of them that we are so excited about. What I'm excited about Psalm 22 for is that if there was ever any doubt that the Old Testament is related and one with the New Testament, there's ever any doubt that the Psalms speak clearly and prophetically and accurately about Jesus Christ, this puts those concerns to rest, because it speaks in detail, amazing detail, about the sufferings that our Lord underwent on the cross. And also, he quoted the opening lines of this psalm to confirm that for us just moments before he died. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Well, here's Forsaken by My Soul Among Lions. I hope that you are blessed.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverer is my prayer. All day long I cry, but you don't answer me. In the night I groan, but you're not there. Holy Holy One enthroned upon your people's praise. You've always been our Father's trust. They would cry for help to you in troubled days, and you'd arise and raise them from the dust. Now I know that I'm a worm and not a man. Those who pass by me avert their eyes. Even now my friends dismiss me out of hand. I've become a fool to be despised. Can look upon me but to scoff and sneer. Cursing through their teeth, I hear them say, he who trusts in God, that his God interfere. Let us see him love his son today. You it was who brought me from my mother's womb. Just in you upon her breast. Was it only so that I'd go in the tomb? And God, I hope that I can pass the test. Oh, 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 oh. Far from me, my Lord, can't you hear the lions roar? Bashan's bulls stand all around. I'm poured like water out on the ground. I'm out of joint, I'm short of breath. My mouth can't taste the dust of death. My heart's like wax, my body's beat. They've pierced me through my hands and feet. And for my clothes they roll the dice. My God, I've paid the price. A bruised and broken pot of clay. I need you, Lord, do not delay. Will I live to see another day? Oh, oh. Made in your house once again. I'll lift it high up to heaven. Let Israel stand full of awe before him. God will not hide from the broken, nor turn his back. Pay the vows I have spoken before them there when I stood in his place. He fills the poor uncontented, their bellies warm and their hearts beat anew. Come all you tired and tormented, worship the Lord who's been gracious to you. Worship the Lord who's been gracious to you. the children of our future generations. He is God and he has done amazing things. Our God is ruler of the nations. Go tell the poor, tell their princes and their kings. Tell to the children of our future generations. He is God and he has done amazing things. Children of our future generations, he is God and he has done amazing things.
That was a beautiful song, and we are going to our first break here. If you'd like to ask a question of Jody Killingsworth, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Jody, and we look forward to speaking with Jody for another half hour. So don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the first hour is Jody Killingsworth of the Christian band and music ministry My Soul Among Lions. Coming up in our second hour will be Pastor Mark Chansky of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, who's going to be discussing Greet One Another with a Holy Kiss, an examination of brotherly affection. But right now, if you'd like to ask Jody Killingsworth a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. We do have a question from RJ in White Plains, New York. And RJ wants to know, how do you prevent a group of very talented musicians and singers and songwriters from being guilty of performing in a manner that could be considered vain worship. I'm not saying at all that you are doing that. I'm just saying, how do you keep the reins on what you're doing to prevent that?
Well, I think it takes the exercise of the, the scriptures tell, Paul teaches Timothy to admonish and rebuke and exhort with all patience, but to admonish, rebuke, and exhort. And I think that the pastors who are over a group need to exercise that regularly in the lives of the members of the group. Otherwise, they will give in to the pride and vanity that is so dangerous to them in the work that they do, as they stand in front of people and they lead them. And it, a lot of attention and interest and applause comes their way, unless they're being humbled regularly by the pastors and elders and other brothers in their life. Then they, I'm afraid, will very easily slip into that. We have the blessing in our church of being under authority and having regular involvement, pastoral care in our lives, and we've come to know that that is essential to our survival as artists. Unfortunately, there's a lot of groups out there who are not tied to the church. They live off the church. They tour around the churches and minister in churches, but are not regularly members of a church where they can receive that kind of care and shepherding. And that is to put their feet in a very slippery place. So we feel very fortunate, very blessed to be under that kind of care and protection ourselves, because I think the risks are very, very real and very dangerous.
Yeah, I think that churches, and especially the pastors of churches, should be very leery and do some investigation about musical groups or even evangelists that they were that they invite to their congregation. They should be investigating before they invite either musicians, singers, or evangelists. Before they invite them, they should be checking up on them, because there are both traveling evangelists and musicians and bands that are like mavericks. They're like lone wolves who are an authority unto themselves and who view themselves as being somehow over the church. Like they are looking upon themselves as some kind of a wonderful gift to the churches that they are visiting, and they I think sometimes think that they are there to correct the church and things that the church is missing, and yet they are under no oversight themselves.
Yeah, we talk about Lone Ranger Christians tongue in cheek, because the New Testament just does not have a category for that. It's so clear that authority is the norm for Christians. They are to be under authority, submitted to real men who really know them and who really speak into their lives. And I think without that, anybody in any profession, in any condition, is prone to wander and is going to fall away from the Lord one way or another.
In fact, you don't even have to be, you don't even have to be a traveling singer, musician, or band.
No.
There are choirs and groups, praise bands within churches that act as if they are a church unto themselves. And I know a friend
choirs are a very powerful force in the church.
Yes, because they know that. Unfortunately, and I'm sure even you as a musician would say, unfortunately, there are people who will pick a church just because the music might be superior to the music in other churches surrounding them, and they really put what the church believes and teaches on a lower rung of importance. So many of the larger churches, especially those that are involved into the seeker-sensitive kind of movement, are meticulous about the musicians and singers they have, treating them almost as if they are just like a professional form of entertainment, because they know it will be a draw, and sometimes this very thing goes to the head of those involved in the music ministry. In fact, I can remember a friend of mine who is pastoring a church, and I can't help but chuckle, even though it's kind of sad. He, in the morning worship, the choir would sing, and then when the choir sang and finished singing and exited the podium there or the platform, he would ascend into the pulpit, and as he was beginning his message, he would hear the choir members in the parking lot talking about where they wanted to eat, and then hear cars driving away because the choir was there just to do their thing and then leave. And he was a new pastor, and he was like in a state of frustration over this because he was finding it difficult to exercise authority in certain areas like that. But I want to play another song, and then we're going to have you talk about the Kickstarter. This is another song that I have on file here for My Soul Among Lions. I hope you enjoy it. Psalm 2, and that is a powerful song. In fact, Jody, that is the very first My Soul Among Lions song that I heard. That's what I was talking about earlier. In fact, I think I heard about that when somebody posted it right after the horrific Supreme Court decision to legalize same-sex marriage.
Yeah, that's right. And that's really the song that helped launch this project. We had been thinking we needed to do this work. We had more or less privately been working on how we were going to go about it. And we had this one written and recorded in a demo form, really rough. We'd shown one or two people outside our little group. And so another pastor on staff here knew about it. And then that ruling came down. And our church, other churches, Christians all across this country were shell-shocked by that. And we're in a state of mourning and fear. And this pastor on staff, Stephen Baker, who knew about the existence of this song, he came to us and he said, you guys just need to get that up online as quick as you can. And so we hurriedly recorded it just a little bit better quality in our church sanctuary, got it up online, and thought, we needed to have a name to publish it under, so we scrambled and found My Soul Among Lions, the name, got it up online, and got such an enthusiastic response that we felt we just need to move ahead, and we launched a Kickstarter project to try to fund the production of the first 10 Psalms, and that, the Lord blessed that, we were able to do it. We followed up the second year with the same approach with the Kickstarter project to fund another 10 Psalms. We did that. And now we're back with our third volume, and we're right in the middle of a Kickstarter project that's live now. We have 14 days remaining. We're 52% funded, so we are just past halfway through the 30 days of funding of the campaign. We're 52% funded. We have about 122 backers who have pulled together to bring us to that point, and we want to see the Lord allow us to complete this set of 10 Psalms, because there are some wonderful Psalms in this set. Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. Beautiful Psalm. And I think that the song that the Lord has given us based on that Psalm is really sweet, very encouraging and comforting to the saints. So we want to be able to get it out there. Psalm 22, which you heard, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 27 is in this set. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And it also has that wonderful section that one thing that I ask of the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This beautiful stuff.
Amen. And so tell our listeners exactly, step by step, what they are to do to help out with this Kickstarter.
Okay. Well, if you've liked what you've heard today, you can go to mysoulamonglions.com. mysoulamonglions.com. That's our website. From there, you can find a lot about us. But very near the top is a little widget, I think they call it, with the Kickstarter information there. It'll link you to the Kickstarter campaign that we're running. It'll tell you where we're at in the funding cycle. So there's a very prominent link there to our Kickstarter. Click on that. Go watch our Kickstarter video, our pitch, see what we're up to and what we're about, and consider donating through the Kickstarter to help us fund this new album.
Well, praise God.
And in exchange for donating at any level, I should mention, you would get an immediate free download of Psalm 22, Forsaken Me, which we heard earlier on the broadcast.
And I strongly advise our listeners to go to the website to hear the music, because I don't know if it's going to be the clarity that you're hearing during this program is going to be the same, since you're hearing this through a live streamed talk show. So I'm not 100% sure if the clarity will be equal to that you will hear on the My Soul Among Lions website. It's mysoulamonglions.com?
Yep.
Okay, because I see a different website also, mysoulamonglions.bandcamp.com.
Well, that is where you can go if you're interested in purchasing our former volume. But if you're interested in helping us out, helping us move forward with the project and to help fund Volume 3, which is our current project, go to mysoulamonglions.com. Click on the Kickstarter link in the top, probably the top left corner of the page, and that will take you to Kickstarter. and it's pretty self-explanatory from there. You can, we have a number of reward levels to consider, and one of the options is to purchase our previous volumes of Psalms and the new volume when it comes out. So that you really can just go to Kickstarter if you want to help us across the board.
Great. And the first song that we played today, where you and your daughters were sitting in a field, our listeners should know that that was not a studio recording. That was, I'm assuming that you were actually out there in a field with your two daughters. That wasn't, unless you were superimposed over over a backdrop of a field.
That was a field behind my house. And one beautiful evening, we went out there and turned on the camera and sang it.
Yeah, so that was indeed beautiful, and the other songs that we sang were studio recordings, obviously. And actually, let me go to a listener question right here first.
Sure.
We have Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, "Do you think that one of the beauties of using the Psalms is that the Psalms address nearly every kind of state of mind that a believer is going through? They are not all about joy and smiles and uplifting words and music. Some of them also address the deepest, darkest moments of our life. There is a multitude of different types of moods and scenarios that are involved behind the Psalms, so therefore they reflect a full range of human emotion when we praise God."
I think that's exactly right. We have a saying here in our church, shorthand for a lot of things, but we say, get real or be real. We say that because we want to encourage people to not live their life through social media, but we also say it because we want us to not be superficial in general in our approach to ourselves, to sin, to one another, to suffering, to trials. We want to just be real. No hypocrisy, no veneer, just be real. The Psalms help us be real because, like the listener said, Christian, thank you for that comment, you said that they run the whole gamut of human emotion. Well, if you judged what is commonly sung in churches today, you get only that, mostly you get the happy stuff. You get positive feelings. You get sentiments that are in the Psalms, but they're one-sided, one-dimensional. The Psalter and the psalmist is more holistic in his approach to his devotion. He brings everything that he's suffering, everything that he's feeling, everything that he's experiencing to the Lord, and he does that in a godly way. And so we don't lack suffering, really, in the church. We have lots of suffering. What we do lack is an ability to talk about it, to acknowledge it, and to be real. And I think singing Psalm 6 is a wonderful example of this. "Oh, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me. I'm pining away. If I go to the grave, will the dead praise you?" This is real, and people do feel these things and experience these things, but we need to give them the outlet that the Scriptures give them. And we also need to learn how to weep and mourn with those who are suffering. And so even if we're not personally experiencing the feelings of Psalm 6 and can't this moment relate to it, somebody next to us in the pew can, and we need to comfort them with those words.
Well, before we exit from our interview, Jody, please summarize in about a minute what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
I want the church to embrace the Psalms. I want us to learn from God himself, from the Holy Spirit, I'm David, who he inspired, how to relate to God as we should. The Psalms are filled with things that we would not in a million years think that we could say to the Lord. They're there. And they're there in their rawness, they're there in their edginess, but they're there in godliness. And need to learn from it. So I want the church to embrace the Psalms in singing.
Amen. Well, I'm going to exit with another song of or by My Soul Among Lions. And once again, the website is mysoulamonglions.com, correct?
That's right.
Mysoulamonglions.com. Thank you very much, Jody, for being on the program today. And I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the near future.
See how my foes increase. See them rising up against me. They rob my soul of peace and say there is no help in God. But you, O Lord, you are my shield. You lift my head. I'm as safe with you out on the field as in my bed. You keep my life concealed. You are my shield.
you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org. That's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. whichever edition you choose. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, when you contact Todd and Patty Jennings at cvbbs.com, tell them about the 50% off sale that you want to take advantage of, that they are having on Reformed commentaries, Reformed expository commentaries of the Bible in hardback, including the new one by Richard D. Phillips on the book of Revelation, which is no doubt an amillennial perspective on the book of Revelation, knowing Richard. So go to cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com, and mention the 50% off sale that they are having. And always remember to tell all of our advertisers, if you contact them, that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to the program, coming up is our second guest of the day, Mark Chansky, author and pastor of the Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, who's going to be discussing Greet One Another with a Holy Kiss, an examination of brotherly affection. Before we go to Pastor Mark, we just have a couple of important announcements to make in regard to special events. The first one is coming up next Thursday, October 26th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. This is the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Reformation Day Pastor's Luncheon. It's absolutely free of charge. And if you are a man in ministry, whether it is a pastoral position, whether you are an elder, and I happen to believe a pastor and elder are the same thing, but I know that some churches differentiate those two offices. Whether you're a deacon, whether you are a parachurch leader, please register for this free event by going to or sending an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. My guest speaker that day will be the Reverend William Shishko, retired pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, Long Island, New York, and he is currently the regional home missionary for Reformation Metro New York. He's also an adjunct faculty member at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. He's been a dear friend of mine since the 1980s, one of the first pastors other than my own that I developed a friendship with very soon after becoming a born-again Christian. And we have maintained a friendship all these years since the mid-1980s. And I'm so glad that Pastor Bill is coming out to do this, to speak at this luncheon. His theme is going to be Restoring Reformation Passion. That's Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And also, we have a guest of honor, Steve Bloom, who is Pennsylvania State Representative. He's also a candidate for Congress. And he is a born-again Christian who really has his faith in the forefront of his life as a politician. He is not somebody who just tries to appease Christians to receive votes from them and is really disingenuous in his public personal, or should I say public Christian persona. He is the real deal, Steve Bloom, and I always enjoy having him on the program when he has the time to be interviewed. But that's Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. You will be leaving with a heavy sack of brand new free books donated by many major Christian publishers in the USA and UK. So we hope to get your registration soon because the event is next Thursday, October 26th. Coming up after that is the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals event, the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, which is going to be held from November 17th through the 18th at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, on the theme For Still Our Ancient Foe. Obviously a reference to Satan from that classic Reformation hymn by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress. Speakers include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. If you'd like to register, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on events and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And then coming up in January from the 17th through the 20th is the G3 Conference. It returns to Atlanta, Georgia, and will be on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. And the 17th is exclusively a Spanish-speaking edition of the conference. The 18th through the 20th is the English edition of the conference, featuring speakers such as Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, Martha Peace, and Justin Peters. If you want to register for the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and tell all of these organizations, if you register for their events, that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I have to accommodate the wishes of my advertisers who have urged me to make public appeals for donations because Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in a real seriously dangerous financial situation. We are at risk of going off the air, and my advertisers don't want that to happen, and they have urged me to make public appeals for donations. If you love this program and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and then you will have an address where you can mail a check for any amount made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church, and never take food off of your family's dinner table if you're struggling to make ends meet, because those two things are commands of God. Supporting my program is not a command of God, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and please consider even donating regularly if you are financially able to do so. And if you love this program, if it means a lot to you, if you listen to it every day, if you love the guests and topics and you don't want me to go off the air, then please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with the theology of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It doesn't have to be identical, but it does need to be compatible. We would love to promote whatever it is you are doing, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, like a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, whether it's just a special event you're having. If you want to advertise with us, please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And that's also the email address to send in a question to Pastor Mark Chansky of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan. He's also a teacher of hermeneutics for the Reformed Baptist Seminary of Easley, South Carolina. And we are addressing, during this last hour of the program, greet one another with a holy kiss, an examination of brotherly affection, obviously taken from Romans 16:16. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mark Chansky.
Chris, thanks for having me again. You're doing a great work there at Iron Sharpens Iron, and good to be again talking with you.
Well, it's always great to have you on the program, and in studio with me is my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
Yes, I am here. Hello.
Buzz, greetings to you as well. Not with a holy kiss, but...
Believe me, if you were here, you wouldn't want to. But anyway...
Oh, but that's the very point that we're at.
I know.
I was going to say, now you're really going to lay it on. I'm good. Get them good.
Well, before we do that, tell our listeners something about the Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan.
Well, we planted the church back in 1993. I used to be a pastor in Grand Rapids. We had planted a number of churches there from Grand Rapids, like off in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Louisville, Kentucky, off in Lethbridge, Alberta. And then we thought maybe we should plant a church nearby, so 45 minutes off to the west from Grand Rapids on the lake shore in Michigan. We had a number of people who were driving into Grand Rapids from there, so we had about 11, 12 families. That was the seed, the core, some of God's finest. And so I went out from the Grand Rapids Church, and we started in 93, and the Lord has been kind and gracious. It's been, well, it's 017 now, so 24 years as a church out here, and we've sensed the wind of heaven, thorns and thistles to be sure, but the Lord has been our supporter, and he's been our good shepherd out here.
Well, praise God. And we will give you the contact information for that church before the end of the program. But as I mentioned just before, Romans 16, verse 16, says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. If you could, let us know something about the context of that verse and why you think it's an important subject for us to discuss today.
Well, obviously it's the finale. The apostle is giving final words to the church in Rome, and he tells them to greet each other with a holy kiss. But I suppose the even bigger context is really the entirety of Paul's epistles. Paul, not just one time, but four times, gives this call to the holy kiss. He calls it in Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. He does it also in 1 Corinthians 16:20, greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:26, he says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And then Peter, so for the fifth time in the epistles, Peter says, greet one another with a kiss of love. So we know that repetition is the mother of learning. And clearly, the Lord Jesus, who is the author of all the scriptures, wants his bride to be beautiful and to be godly. So no less than five times he repeats this issue, greet each other with the holy kiss. So it's something serious. It's not something humorous. We laughed about it earlier. Buzz, you may not be the most kissable man in the kingdom. Nevertheless, we laugh and we chuckle, but there is something about that element of being able to relate to each other and using the holy kiss to do it. So I think we should sit up and say, this isn't just something incidental. I think this is really something fundamental and something really important.
Well, what does it exactly mean? Does a holy kiss require that someone is actually embracing a brother? or sister and kissing that brother on the cheek or somewhere on the face? Does it always have to be literally that action?
Well, let's even start with that issue. You talk about a brother or a sister. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I think there's theological background to it, isn't there? That term, adelphos, which would be brother. I believe it's male or female. I think the issue is that we are intimately related in Christ, that we're made spiritual siblings, that we're children of God. There's a real spiritual brotherhood between Buzz and myself. Romans 8:29 says, Christ is the firstborn among many brothers. So there's a family in mind here. God is our father. Christ is our elder brother. And each of us are our closest relatives because in Christ, we who were alienated from God, you think of the vertical relationship with the Heavenly Father, we were alienated from God when our representative Adam defied "You shall surely die." There's a separation between us and God, cast out of the garden. But then the Lord tipped his hand that there was going to be some kind of a strange reconciliation. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and the Lord Jesus Christ appears, and that nakedness of shame that displayed the alienation between God the Father and sinful man and woman, we see the Lord Jesus takes that shame, that nakedness, on the cross, and we get his righteousness in Christ so that we who are far off are able to be brought near to him once again. The shame is taken by Christ, and in exchange there is intimacy that we have with the Father. "This is now my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Well, that's you and me. He's our Father. Christ is our elder brother. And then the Father, he hangs on us like the prodigal son gets kissed by the Father. The Father loves us, and so we who have this vertical restoration should have this horizontal expression of loving one another because we're members of the same family. And I think the most profuse and the most expressive of our intimate affection salutations should in many ways be reserved for the closest relationships we have on earth, which is not necessarily with our blood brothers and sisters, but our spiritual brothers and sisters. So if we're going to hug, even if we're going to embrace and physically express affection, it should mostly be with brothers and sisters in Christ, I think. That's a theological matter.
Well, Reverend Budge Taylor has something to say.
Well, I can just hear the voices in my head now saying, but isn't that a cultural thing? By actually using the example of the kiss, wouldn't that be like today handshakes or anything like that?
Yeah, and I think that the cultural element is something that we should deal with, because surely there will be different expressions. I mean, look at Middle Easterners. The Lord Jesus lived in Israel. He lived in Palestine. You go there now, there is effusive touching that takes place there. Now, look, I'm in Holland, Michigan. We got Northern European people here who are very reserved, and there's not a lot of native and spontaneous touching that goes on.
They do holy air kisses, right?
Yeah, and I think there is a cultural, even a climactic element about it in the northern climes versus, you've seen the movie, The Big Fat Greek Wedding, and the way that there is all this touching and all this embracing that goes on that was not common for the gentleman who was from a different culture. Yeah, I think it's true. We should keep that in mind. But I do believe, Buzz, it's very inappropriate for us to discard offhand as being just a cultural husk this idea of saying, well, that's for their culture. Think of the Lord Jesus. He was the perfect man. And I think there can be some things about our reserve and our reticence and our standoffishness and our aloofness that is un-Christ-like, and we should bend some of our personal temperaments to conform to the Lord Jesus. I mean, think of the Savior, the way that obviously when Judas kissed him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, no one thought anything of it because he was frequently kissed, and he permitted himself to be kissed. Even we mentioned Luke 15 and the prodigal son. And the father, Jesus, is really the father in the parable, isn't he? And he kisses his son, and even the Lord Jesus, think of how he said, "Let the little children come to me," and he took them up, he touched them. He was a touching person, this perfect man. Even in John 13, he lets John, the disciple whom he loved, to lay in his bosom. So I think there's something that we as imperfect men should learn from the perfect man in the Lord Jesus in the way that he was physically affectionate. And I think you're right, Buzz. I think the use of the lips may be debatable, the idea of custom and mode of expression, but I really think that a physical expression of affection is non-negotiable if we're going to fulfill this call, greet one another with a holy kiss.
Yeah, do you think that in some ways it's really a test in some level if we read like in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If we really love someone, if they're not just like somebody passing by in the shopping center or in a parking lot somewhere, if they are somebody that we love, there should be an instinctual response when we see them, something like an embrace and a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look in the, I mean, we can talk about this more, but look in the context of marriage. It's strange if there's a husband and a wife, and you see them in public, and they're standoffish and they're aloof to one another. Isn't that oftentimes the physical, somewhat of a barometer of what's taking place in the invisible and in the relational? I think so. I have a fellow elder in our church. His name is Kevin. His wife is Marcy. And one thing about Kevin, when he meets his bride, he always kisses her. And they have a beautiful and wonderful relationship. And interesting, too, about Kevin, when Kevin and I, for instance, we often have our big elders meetings that we have in the week. At least one of our elders meetings will be when we go out walking. We'll walk or run at the Hope College track here in Holland. And there we are on the rubberized track, and Kevin's walking, and I say, "Hey, Kevin," and I run up to him, and he always puts out his arms. He doesn't kiss me like he kisses his wife, but he gives me a full man-hug embrace, and I realize we live in a culture where there's homosexuality and queer behavior. I don't care. I think oftentimes, we give away some of the beautiful blessings of man-to-man Christian brother relationships because they're so afraid of what onlookers might think.
That's a true example of homophobia. We keep hearing that word tossed around by leftists and homosexual advocates. But the real homophobia would be a fear that isn't even based in reality, a fear that someone is going to be assuming that you're a homosexual just because you're embracing a brother in Christ or a friend and kissing that man on the cheek.
Exactly. And I think we should look to the scriptures, which say, greet one another with a holy kiss, and have that be an emboldening thing that says, I don't care what the world thinks. In fact, even when you ponder the father-son relationship, I think that one of the best immunizations against a leaning toward homosexuality is giving a young boy who's in his family and has a relationship with his dad, there should be fatherly affection expressed physically toward a son. And that kind of filling his love tank in a man-to-man way, I think, is one of the healthiest ways of building a wholesome view of sexuality. Instead of oftentimes these young boys yearn for fatherly affection, they never got it, and as a result they're vulnerable to seeking male relationship in an unwholesome way.
Yeah. And Reverend Buzz Taylor has something else to say.
As you're saying this, though, I'm thinking If we were to try to implement this kind of a thing in our churches today, well, we're so far removed from that 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 would be very difficult. And that, you know, obviously, I think some of the first things that come to some people's minds would be, for example, I used to go to a church where the girls would come to church, especially dolled up, you know, and I could just see some guy saying, "Oh yeah, let's start practicing the holy kiss," you know.
Well, I think that's a very good point. But the text does say, mm-hmm. "Greet one another with a holy kiss."
Yes.
And so the question is, what does that word?
Yeah, well, the question I bring up is implementation, because you do have that problem with human nature.
Oh yes, no question about it. No question about it. Right? John Murray will comment on this. Mm-hmm. Romans 16 passage. He says, "Holy as opposed to erotic or sexual."
Yeah.
And I think surely we may need to make sure that whatever contact would take place, that it's not an occasion for lust, whether it be homosexual lust or heterosexual lust. It should be pure and it should be chaste. And so, yeah, I think we need to be very discreet. You know, there can be a ditch of what Luther's mule has gotten a lot of press recently because of the 500th year anniversary. You can fall off the right side of the mule with a cold isolation, or on the left side of the mule with the carnal seduction. It's got to be a holy kiss. And so, I you know, I'm not going to give a code book. can't give rigid restriction. By the way, I don't think either. I think, generally speaking, it's good. I talk about man hugs and man to man. I can't say that, therefore, there should be no embrace of any kind between a man and a woman. I've seen it over the years where, two people, full body embrace, and so easy with the sensuality that can be there. Even teens can use this holy kiss idea and in a very indiscreet way provoke temptation. I think that needs to be an issue. But on the other hand, I think even my, I got a German mother-in-law. She's, I think, 86 now in Iowa, and her husband is 90 now. And I can remember about a couple of decades ago, I was at their Baptist church in Waterloo, Iowa, and Helga says to Arnold, "Go over and give a hug to Mrs. Edie," because Mrs. Edie was a widow who didn't have any affection at all. And for my older, elderly father-in-law, at the encouragement of his wife, to go give a hug to this old widow lady because she needs something for her physical love tank. You know how psychologists will say, we all need 7 touches and expressions of affection a day for us to be physically healthy and whole. I think there's something there in that we should in the church have an understanding and a comprehension of that.
We're going to our final break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question for Mark Chansky on a holy kiss, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Pastor Mark Chansky and more of our discussion.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And don't forget, Pastor Bill Shishko of A Visit to the Pastor's Study will be my keynote speaker at the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon in honor of Reformation Day, next Thursday, October 26th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. If you want to register, do so quickly before we run out of room. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We are now back with our guest, Pastor Mark Chansky of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. I'm sorry, Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan. And we are discussing Greet One Another with a Holy Kiss.
an examination of brotherly affection. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Chansky, if someone really has a vulnerability or weakness in the area of sexual temptation, I'm assuming that you would tell them to refrain from that, especially if it's somebody of the opposite sex, or if somebody has a same-sex attraction struggle in their life, that would be going with the brother in Christ as well, I'm assuming.
Sure, I think 1 Corinthians 6 speaks of flee immorality. Matthew 5 speaks of if your right eye offends, gouge it out. If your right hand offends, cut it off. In other words, stay away a long distance from the source of temptation. Don't scoop fire into your lap, lest your clothes be burned. Yes, yes, in that case, absolutely. That being said, I think that times when we can create an unhealthy view of touching so that it cultivates a hypersensitivity, communicating the idea that somehow there's a radioactivity in touching. Boy, think of the Lord Jesus. Here, Luke 7:45, Jesus is at the house of Simon, and Jesus says, "You, Simon, you gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." So the Lord Jesus didn't kick away this woman who was washing his feet with her tears and with her hair and kissing them. He tolerated that kind of touching. Even think of the Lord Jesus in Mark 1:31, Peter's mother-in-law. He raises her up, yes, taking her by the hand, but a willingness to touch and interact. And then even think of John 4, the woman at the well, and the Lord Jesus interacting with her. I think, frankly, there's probably something wholesome with, let's say there's a young fella in our church named Caleb, and let's say he grows up and he understands that his Sunday school class, Mrs. Katrina, embraces him often and frequently. And there's something wholesome and something loving about touch that takes place. And there can be a not just a arm's length distance. Sometimes that can be, I think, overly counterproductive.
We have a listener in Perry County, Pennsylvania, Arnie, who says, "Do you think it is wrong for people to constantly give their ethnicity as an excuse as to why they do not involve themselves in these kinds of affectionate embraces?" You know, that reminds me, I do have some dear friends from Scottish backgrounds, especially, that I can remember. Even one who's now in heaven that you probably knew, Peter Jeffrey. Peter Jeffrey, when I embraced him, he looked like he was going to wanted to call 911. Even though he knew me and all that, it's just kind of an interesting phenomenon.
But on the other hand, you've got John Murray. You read his biography in Volume 3, Banner of Truth, Writings of John Murray. It talks about how he would walk around Westminster Seminary. He would always be walking with the seminarians arm in arm, arm around. He was a touchy guy, and he was a Scotsman, but it was because of biblical conviction that he cultivated these kinds of anti-cultural interactions. I think there are times when, again, not only do we need to straighten our bent temperament because we can be so aloof and reserved and unchristlike, I think there are times we need to straighten our bent culture to conform to biblical models. I think that there can be something, frankly, in our northern European reserve, I live up in Michigan here, a coldness that is inconsistent with heart affections that should be profuse between Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "They'll know that you are Christians and my disciples by the way that you love one another." And like I said, I see Kevin, he kisses his wife. That's one way I know he loves his wife. I think there should be this element of these people. Look at John Murray. He's walking with that seminary student. He must really have an affection for them. I mean, look at biblically, the man after God's own heart. David kissed Jonathan, and Christ and the 12 kissed, and Paul, there he is, Acts chapter 20. He meets with the Ephesian elders. When he bids adieu to them, what do? They kiss and they hug. These are, I think, wholesome physical expressions. In fact, let me quote the doctor, John Murray, his commentary on Romans 16. He says this: it betrays an unnecessary reserve. And this is a Scotsman talking. It betrays an unnecessary reserve, if not loss of ardor of Christ's first love, when the holy kiss is conspicuous by its absence in the Western Church.
Wow. So that's interesting. He really worked at overcoming this, behavior, this affectionate behavior. He worked at overcoming the lack of it, I should say, in his own culture, even though it may have been uncomfortable in the beginning for him.
I can't speak for him and his experience, but his own biography, people observed his life, testified that this was the case. And I do think it is something that we should work on. Now, Buzz, you talked about a handshake, and I'm not against a handshake, and we can't force things on people. You've ever been in a church service where maybe it's before the offertory and the pastor says, okay, now everybody turn around and whether it be give each other the holy kiss or give each other the greeting, you know, that can make your skin crawl. Or am I the only one who can feel like that when it's forced? And I'm not saying churches who do it are wrong, but I think there should be something that is more spontaneous, less coerced, something that is more sincere. And I do think, okay, Buzz, maybe it is for somebody I can handshake and that's good, but why not, okay, maybe shake the hand and how about grab the forearm as well? If there really is that kind of affection that we speak about, that Buzz, you and I, we have this glorious thing in common. We are two hell-deserving sinners who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who snatched us, both of us, as burning sticks from the fire, and praise be to God, he is our elder brother, and we have a father, and there should be so much fervent affection. In fact, that's what Peter says, too. He says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. But you and I should have a fervent, burning love, so that, frankly, a handshake is like a one-inch copper pipe trying to get the full surge of a fire hydrant.
Well, you mentioned about it being a spontaneous kind of thing, and how having it done officially can make your skin crawl. We have, in a church that I attend quite a bit, they pass, you've probably seen this before as part of a liturgy, where they go around passing the peace of Christ, and everybody's shaking hands and saying, the peace of Christ be with you.
Sure.
Yeah, we do that, and
I can't say that's wrong. I can't say that's wrong at all.
No.
I think there's more to it than just that kind of liturgical protocol.
Mm-hmm. Because you have a pastor in that scenario really embarrassing you publicly if you don't do it. sheer virtue of the fact that he's telling you to do it and you're not doing it.
But what's interesting, though, is nobody seems to have a problem with it. And they go, I mean, you know, they'll go all over the church to make sure they get everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, having said that, don't you think, I know that I have been troubled by experiencing this and witnessing this in the past, and I have especially heard unbelievers who have, like, visited a congregation with me or visited a worship service or some kind of a Christian event, where it is so robotic and unnatural that people can tell that it is, obviously we're not mind readers, but sometimes you can sense that there's something so robotic and phony about it. It's like you're walking into the Stepford Church instead of the Stepford Wives.
Yes, yes. And I think, you look at the passages, even the 1 Peter passage that quoted where 1 Peter 4:8, above all else, keep fervent in your love for one another. That speaks of a burning. That speaks of a white hot. So the issue is not just the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He wants our hearts in this. Or even 1 Peter 1:22, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, or 3:8, have unity of mind with brotherly love, having a tender heart. I think, yeah, it's the heart of the matter, Chris. I think you're right. And I think what we should be causing the physical outward, it's got to be a holy kiss also, in the sense that it's a sincere kiss. It's not a deceitful kiss. Judas, hey, he kissed Jesus, but he didn't have a heart for it. And we need to be, like it says in Proverbs 27:6, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. We want to say, okay, if I'm going to embrace my brother, and I'm going to shake his hand, grab his forearm, give a man hug to my brother, then it can't be carnal. It can't be deceitful. I've got to have my heart be in this too. And I think just kissing your wife, the same thing can be true. My heart needs to be affectionate toward her. And I think the lips can instruct the heart sometimes, and vice versa.
We have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, how do you respond to someone who says that this is purely a cultural thing like foot washing that has no modern day meaning?
Yeah. On the one hand, I would say certainly we can't make it mandatory, because let's say you're in the Brethren Church, you have to do it, and if you don't do it, then you're put out of the church. I don't think there should be that kind of a thing. But again, I believe that as it's present 5 times, and as we've scanned these cultural and personal and heart affection elements, I just don't think you can discard it as husk and say that there is no actual kernel that's in it. I think there's kernel, and I think, frankly, the physiological touch element is part of the kernel. Let me just give you an example. Even, you know, we were talking about the idea of male and female as well. I think there needs to be great care regarding the male and female. But again, I wouldn't want to say, okay, therefore, greet just men to men with a holy kiss and women to women with a holy kiss. There was an occasion back in 01, my dad died, and it was a total surprise. He had just tied his best golf game. He was only 71. He was in great health. And he died on a Wednesday, and it was in the morning when I went off to the emergency room. I hoped my dad would still be alive, but I saw him there on a gurney. He was cold, and I embraced him, and I kissed him, but he was gone. So all day, I couldn't eat anything, and I came to prayer meeting. I'm sitting in the back row of our church, and no one knew I was there. In fact, I didn't even think I wanted to be there, but I had to be with the brethren. And I came and sat in the back row, and they were praying about my dad. In fact, one of the guys prayed this way. He said, we hear of the Queen of Sheba, and when she got to Solomon's throne room, she said, they didn't tell me the half of the glory of your kingdom. And we know that this is what Dick, Mark's dad, is enjoying right now, that he hasn't heard of half the glory. His son never told him half of the glory of heaven. So I'm just sitting in the back, and I'm just crying my eyes out, and a woman in the church, Jennifer, she's still in our church, Jennifer saw me back there, and she turned around, she walked 4 rows back, and she gave me this huge, and I just wept like a baby in her arms. You know, there was not an ounce of eroticism in that. That was such a wholesome expression of sisterly affection that at that moment was a godsend, and it was the kiss on the cheek of my Lord Jesus to me, who I was just hemorrhaging with grief. And this woman gave me the tourniquet I needed.
Amen. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, don't you think that in order for the holy kiss to be authentic, we really need to pray that we do fall in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ and really genuinely care about them and their souls, and therefore the holy kiss will be a genuine holy kiss?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, because I think the call for holiness is not only a lack of sensuality, but I think it is a depth of sincerity, that it's the real deal. Yeah, Man may look at the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart, and that's what he wants. He wants our hearts.
Yeah, you could give people holy kisses till the cows come home, but if you never, ever, ever invite them over your home, if you never demonstrate any kind of real, genuine, sincere concern and compassion for them, it's just going to be a hollow thing, right?
Yeah, and I think that's another application of this, too. I think 1 John 3:18, let us not love with word or with tongue, or we could even say with lips, but in deed and in truth. And I think that an expansion of greeting one another with a holy kiss would be, like you say, have somebody over after church. Come on over. Someone from a different culture. We were just talking about this recently in Holland, Michigan. We have various cultures blending together. We're not homogenous here anymore. Have people over to your house. Give telephone calls to people. Engage after the worship service in conversation with people who it may be going beyond your comfort zone to talk to certain individuals in the congregation. To offer to babysit someone's children. So I do think you're right. We want to expand this beyond just the physiological choreography of handshake or arm forearm grab or shoulder embrace. And by the way, regarding embracing in relation with women, maybe it's not a full body embrace. Maybe it's putting your arm around someone's shoulder and having that kind of a sisterly, brotherly affection, but always being careful regarding the particular individual and ages and all those delicate dynamics.
Now, I don't know if it's because of the ethnic backgrounds of many Christians in New York. I'm a native New Yorker, although I live in Pennsylvania now. But there was, I've noticed, it's funny because New York is known as the capital of rudeness and indifference and crudeness. But when I visit New York, the brothers in Christ tend to be rushing over and hugging you, the brothers and sisters. Of course, my wallet usually winds up missing afterwards, but there seems to be a lot more open display of affection like that than in other parts of the country I've been, where people might be more well-known stereotypically for being more polite, but it seems that the real affection, the deep affection and friendship seems to run a lot thinner in a lot of places.
Yeah, and I think what's going on in New York there, I believe that is the spontaneous effect of the Spirit of God and the gospel straightening a bentness of culture, a culture that is bent toward rudeness. In Christ, we're made affectionate to each other. Or even another example is you go down to, I've been down to the Dominican Republic and Santo Domingo, a sister church down there. Well, I tell you what. If I stand like a cardboard Northern European pastor, they wonder, why is this man so aloof and uncaring? The ladies lean over and they kiss you on the cheek. And, you know, after 3 or 4 days in the DR, I find myself, you kiss ladies in the cheek. And again, not erotic. I mean, there wasn't an erotic element to it. There was just something that was healthy about it.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why there is, it seems to me anyway, a lot of affection towards fellow Christians in places like New York, it's because it's like seeing the extinct dodo bird, you know, when you see another Christian in a place where it's not the Bible Belt, where there are people all over the place. In fact, in the Bible Belt, it's unusual for someone not to identify themselves as a Christian, even if they are as dead as a doornail spiritually. In New York, it's more of a rarity to have brothers and sisters in Christ who are true, regenerate, Bible-believing people in a place that's surrounded by liberalism and leftism and anti-Christian behavior.
Yes, I think so. It's also an interesting thing how the text says, greet all the brethren. The 1 Thess 5 passage, greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. I think that calls us to not just have our favorites within the church, a cliquishness. I still remember when I was in first grade, my teacher, Mrs. Russell, long time ago, Chris, when I was in first grade, believe me. But Mrs. Russell said, okay, day before Valentine's Day, okay, now bring a Valentine for all of the classmates. Not just for a couple, three you may be sweet on. Bring a Valentine for all of the classmates. And I think in a like way, the Lord is saying, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, meaning that there is a way we are to look not just among certain individuals that are our favorites, that there should be this cultivating of a universal affection among all the people in the church. And I think that's pretty instructive as well.
And if you could now summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we run out of time.
Well, I guess I would, again, go back to that 1 Peter passage where the apostle says, keep fervent love in your hearts one for another. In fact, he says, above all, keep fervent love in your hearts one for another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And I think it indicates that that is not something that is merely spontaneous, that happens naturally. I think we need to work toward it. If you've got a campfire in the backyard, the only way that you keep it hot is by continuing to poke at it, to turn over the kindling, and then add new wood to it. And in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're to greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, that just calls us to be fire keepers in our own hearts and making sure that this burns. And, you know, in many churches what happens is people come together for 2 or 3 or 4 years and all the relationships are new and all the relationships are fresh. But then after year 3 or 4 or 5 and beyond, then they begin to warehouse certain offenses that we had with this person, a tiff with that person, a run-in that we had with another person. And then about year 5, you leave the church, right? And you start off new. But I think this calls us, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is real deal, authentic, mature Christianity. And may God enable us to use this holy kiss issue to be a barometer in our own hearts. Our lips teach our hearts, but then our hearts are expressed in our lips and our hands and our embraces. And may we truly be able to express that Christ-like sacrificing love. He went to the cross for us. He went out of his comfort zone for us. And so we got to go out of our comfort zones and fervently love each other. So that's my last word.
Amen. And the website for the Harbor Reformed Baptist Church in Holland, Michigan is harborchurchholland.org, harborchurchholland.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Chansky. If you could remain on the line so I can schedule another interview with you when we go off the air.
All right.
And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who sent in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.